If anything in excess of what it takes to run your business is surplus, then what is scrap and how should it be handled? It's odd to think that you can sell something for a dollar because it will save the company money. On the other hand, scrap vendors can get you in trouble for not handling things properly. Other times, they position their services to save you time when, in fact, they're not giving you fair value for what they remove. Get ready. There's going to be some practical advice wrapped up with some pretty interesting stories. You are listening to I Need This Gone Tomorrow, a podcast by Material Management Resources. MMR is a full-service investment recovery firm serving a variety of industries, including oil and gas and utilities. On this podcast, we talk all about responsible investment recovery, which is more than an afterthought. It can actually become a strategic advantage and differentiator if it's handled properly. This podcast is about how you and your company can leverage investment recovery in your projects. My guests today are Carlton Jones and Stephen Williford. Welcome, gentlemen, and thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Candace.
Very excited for today's episode. Okay, so when I think about investment recovery, it occurs to me that it's kind of like cooking. If I'm cooking a new dish, it takes me a lot of time because I got to figure out the ingredients and the process for actually making the dish. However, if I'm in a rush, you can bet I'd order takeout before trying a new recipe. It's a lot easier and certainly it's safer to call in the experts. Seems the same with investment recovery. What is the recipe or process you use or advice that you give to help a client determine whether something's scrap or surplus?
That is a good question, Candace. I mention it, and we talk about it a lot in our business, the who, what, when, and why is one of the key elements I like to use. The who would be our client. The what would be what are we trying to get rid of? You know, what are you trying to do? Is it a valve, a printer? You'd be surprised. It could be a pen. What are we trying to do here? What's our goal? Does it need to go out tomorrow, today, next week, next year? Do we have the room for it? Storage, warehousing? We have a lot of there are a lot of questions there that need to be answered. And then the why. Did you need the pen, or did you really need $500 for that pen? I mean, what the why? So again, I like to ask those questions. We like to fill out our clients and see how we can add value is the key. We just want to add value, and MMR take it from there.
You mentioned adding value. Can you explain how you add value in helping a client understand the difference between scrap and surplus?
It starts with a fair market value. I think that's something that MMR expertise is really good at. Stephen, yep. Our experience. Identifying the item after you've done the inventory. What is it do we have exactly? Where does it stand in the market? Is it out of date? Mm-hmm. Is it new? Is it used? Can it be reused? Is it specific to the facility? You have to ask a lot of questions, and contact the MMR. We'll guide you through that process. And so we'll do a fair market value, and we'll let you know, and we'll be honest. You've got, a 1957 Chevy. We know there's something we can work here, but if you got, a 2020 Chevy, that's not the same, it's not the same value there. So we'll try to guide you through that process, determining, what's the best way to add value. And that's through the fair market value process.
So I know that investment recovery is like a 3D game of chess, really, when you're trying to figure out what to do with materials. How do you help someone do that?
That's a good question. I think we touched on it a little earlier, but helping them out, it's getting to the root of kind of like when you're doing psychology, like you actually ask why three times. Why? So, I want to get rid of the valves. Well, why? We want to add money. Well, why? Well, you need money because we have to pay for our shipping. We cut this department. So you continue to ask why to try to figure out. And that helps us assist in the disposition of the equipment. Not just scrapping it. It may not be the answer, and not just selling it may be the answer. But, the three whys normally help us out trying to figure out our client. The psychology behind, what they're trying to do, what are their goals behind it. And that's what we want to do here at MMR. We want to try to get behind what our client needs.
So it's they might come out of the gate with, I need this gone tomorrow, but you're going to dig in and figure out why.
Right. You need $500 tomorrow. Not yeah. You need $500. Let's get to the why. You need $500 tomorrow. Okay, yeah. I get it. Okay, maybe we do need to just throw this into the guy down the street.
Yeah. We also call those red flags sometimes. There's always a reason why it's got to go.
Yep.
Why it's got to go so fast. So that's just little things you got to look out and have in our experiences. It helps out in the background of, like Carlson says, the three whys, what's going on. So,
yeah. So can you tell me a story when that's happened, when you uncovered the first why didn't quite get you to it, and the third why you landed the plane?
Ooh, is this, a legal? Yeah. Is that a legal question?
Yeah. Who's listening? No. I got one, Carlton. Yeah. So I had some valves in downtown Houston. They said they were valves, right? So they said, hey, come out and do the inventory. I was expecting valves. I get there. It's not valves. Well, it is valves, what used to be valves. What they did, they took them apart and put them in 5 gallon buckets. I have a whole warehouse full. It's probably 500-600 buckets, just full of valves they took apart. So when I got there, I was like, I have to say that this is not what I was expecting. I was expecting valves. These are parts. It's different. They're like, well, we need these gone. Been 2 days. Can we do that? I was like, okay. So this is a whole different ball of wax. I was expecting come through the inventory. We sell the valves. This is valves. This is totally different. I don't know what parts you have. I don't have, it just changed your whole game plan. So that's to you, in our business, you have to be a jack of all trades. So now you're instantly going, well, you can't sell them as valves, but you can do them as scrap. So you switch the whole game mode to it. So what you have to do is what I ended up doing is finding out what was, and they ended up, for my sake, they ended up being stainless. So it ended up being a really good sell. But had they been carbon steel, it's been a little tougher to get rid of. But when you say stainless, it kind of perks up the other buyers, and then you can get a little competition going and get them to sell them. But that was one instance of where kind of got a little, hey, I'm expecting valves, but I actually got scrap.
And so in this example, did your marketplace, did your buyer's club actually wind up, did you find the buyer for the client?
Yeah, I found the buyer. So basically what happened was you don't go to your surplus buyers. You have to go to a whole new set of buyers. Because surplus buyers, they're looking at it like, yeah, but if I buy the valves and I have to put them back together and now they're valves and nah, we don't really want to put that much effort into it.
Right.
It's kind of like, you get a car, but you want the wheels on it. It's that kind of
thing.
That's
always a good thing.
But, so what I ended up doing is just switching buyers completely and went to the higher value buyers on stainless, and they actually come out and bought them.
So. Great. I'd like to explore a couple of different scenarios, if you guys don't mind. In the battle between scrap versus surplus, what are a couple of different scenarios we could talk about? Like I've heard you guys talk about how might you approach a new yard, for example?
New yards, new areas, projects, they all kind of link together. The way you handle it is you go there and we do what we call CPMs. They're critical path methods.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means, basically, you go in there and you assess a yard of, okay, we have this much surplus, we have this much scrap, but we also have another back end of it as this is also coming out that's going to be in the laydown yard. Okay, so once you got all that, then you kind of can break it down. So you'll know, hey, I can provide you with two boxes here, but anything bigger that doesn't fit in a box, we can get you a flatbed or whatever you need to take it out.
Mm-hmm.
Also, whenever you look at that part of the critical path, you have to look at, can the driver come in? Is there enough room? Who's going to be the guy in charge of this yard? Mm-hmm. If you don't find that guy, it makes it a little bit harder because sometimes a lot of the yards are fenced in or it's just an area where you have to have access and have somebody to escort them. We can't mm-hmm. escort them all the time because, we have limited access to certain areas in the facility.
Right.
So when you get all that kind of settled, you kind of feel a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you do critical path method in case something goes wrong. That's the whole deal of critical path.
So you troubleshoot it up front.
Yeah. That way, if you have a plan B, it's not like, oh, my God, we have an emergency. We don't know what to do. Everybody's jammed up, and we're holding up the process in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you always have a plan B out of it, and you may even have to go to C. you don't really like to go to C, but plan B would be better.
But you got it.
But you got it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you kind of sit there and you look in the yard and go, okay, worst case can happen. This, you know, anything can happen. You have rejected material, anything like that out in the yard. Because a lot of times when a project's going, it's flowing. You know, mm-hmm. they're dumping, they're throwing, they're not really paying all that much attention until you come back.
Mm-hmm.
When you get their attention, it's like, hey, that box got, you know, rejected. That's just part of the CPM, but you already planned for it, so you know what's going to happen. This is what we do. We bring in another box. Situation. Or, hey, you need an environmental box, not a scrap box. Who do we call for that? Well, here's the number, you know. Here's Tiffany. She orders those. We don't do that. But if you need us to contact them, we'll contact them and move forward like that.
So you have a group of trusted vendors. If the client doesn't have somebody that they already work with for a situation that comes up, they get the choice. Either they deal with the person that is on their vendor list for their company, or mm-hmm. you can suggest someone that can get them out of a jam.
Yep, absolutely.
Someone that you know and trust and have worked with before.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. You mentioned a third thing, the lay down part of it. What can you explain that? That might be common in your industry.
Okay.
I don't know what it means.
You mean like when I said like the third process of,
yes.
of people. Uh-huh. Okay, so you have what you have. When you first get to a yard, you'll always have the stuff that was already in the yard. They took it over, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the stuff you immediately take out because they're going to have a project coming up.
Right.
On the third part of it is when they say, hey, this is what we have coming out. They can actually either sometimes give you inventory. They'll tell you on March 17th, we're going to have, you know, 47 valves come out because we're doing a change out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So okay. on that day, can you have a truck here? We can live load, or we're going to stack them all here in a row for you. Can you come out and do the inventory on them?
Mm-hmm.
That's the third aspect of what's going on with the project at that time.
Okay. So it's an active part of the project, and it comes in and out. They might need help with that part mm-hmm. of it as well.
What I always say is the sites are alive. You know, they're always moving 24/7. It's like a river. It's just constantly flowing, flowing, flowing. You go out there, and your whole yard's filled up. I'm like, okay, well, that was a change.
Mm-hmm.
Not a big deal. I'll assess the problem.
We can help with that.
We can help with that. It's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
And keep filling it up.
That critical path method is very important.
Yeah.
You brought it up earlier because I've been similar when you're on site. You've got to draw out logistically how you're going to remove that piece of material all the way up to the final destination point. You know, we've had an instance where it could be going to Canada. The weight limits change when you mm-hmm. go to different cities or different nationalities. Just by going to different states, the weight and restrictions are limited. So you've got to be particular, and particularly in the oil and gas industry, when we're dealing with the refinery, getting in and out can be an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
If you're off by a couple of feet, that $1,000 truck and that $2,000 crane was all for nothing because you can't get out the gate. So that's where the experience comes in. And Steven's done through this a lot of times. That's where experience comes in, where to go. And that may assist, doing the critical path method may assist in determining if it's going to be scrapped,
mm-hmm.
If it cannot be removed
right.
physically.
And there's got to be times when that happens. It's like we can't get it out of here without mm-hmm. taking out the whole project.
Yeah.
I've done projects where, and we brought this up earlier, where it was more advantageous to have it dismantled. But we've also sold it in order to assist the site. Whereas even for scrap, it may not be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have an avenue similar to for my client, it was actually the crane yard is across the street from the facility. So there's different restrictions within refineries, a client's refinery, and within their yard. And we were able to coordinate with them to have to sell it to the crane yard, just out of convenience to the refinery, I guess, or the oil and gas industry, or to a client, just out of convenience to them, in order to expedite the disposition of the vessel. It was very big, very large. Transportation would have been ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, we saved them a lot of money and a lot of time. They didn't have to dismantle it on site. The crane operator, the crane company had the resources to transport
to just come over and get it.
Come over mm-hmm. and get it. And we sold it for a reasonable price and a sale. And it was a great event. Everyone won.
That's awesome. So let's think about that client that thinks what they have has a really high value. Can you tell me about a time when you worked with them and the exact opposite of their perception was what wound up actually happening?
Yeah. So part of MMR's assessment is that exactly, you know, just like I was saying previously, like when you look at what you have and it's $1 million. Everybody does it. We're all human. So as part of MMR's process, we go through it and we evaluate it. And as far as the time, I had a client that he called me up and he said, I got this big piece of stainless. You're going to love it. Come out. I think we're going to make a lot of money. Okay. So I came out there. I measured it up. All it was basically was just pipe. He had three or four pieces of stainless pipe, and he wanted us to sell them. And he was thinking, you know, the market's high. We'll get this. We'll get that. Well, once we break it down to him and understand, we could sell it for you. Okay. Our process takes a little while. So whenever you do our process, it takes 2 weeks. Okay. That's 2 weeks. It's on the ground for him. Mm-hmm. All right. His thing was also time sensitive on getting it out. Okay. So what you have to explain to him is by the time we get all the paperwork, everything done, the truck's in, the buyers are going to pay for a truck. You're looking, you know, roughly around $500-$600 for a truck. To get your three pieces of pipe, it's not going to offset very well. But if you put it to scrap now, you're going to come out positive. Because if you put it to scrap, it's a lot cheaper to get it out. The reason why is you can use, there's multiple ways. You can use trucks, you can use bins. Mm-hmm. Bins are usually cheaper. You give him a bin, he fits it right in there, it's gone. For 70 or 80 bucks, you pick it up, and then you get your full max value of the pipe. And that's what I ended up doing for him. And he was really happy with it because he doesn't have to pay someone to actually physically come get the pipe.
Yeah, and it sounds like that client isn't necessarily connected to what's next for that piece of equipment. They care about the bottom line.
Yeah,
they
bottom care line about process, not holding up, and let's get it out and still making a value out of it.
I love the triple threat on the bottom line because you're talking about time, money, mm-hmm. and I need this gone tomorrow pretty much.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah, I've had an example of an auto retriever at one of our facilities. And on the books, you know, you have a manager noticed on the books it was purchased for, you know, some odd hundred thousands of dollars. And that's the dollar he sees and kind of expected in return. I kind of have a rule of thumb. If it was built before iPhones were out, you know, that's like that's kind of like, you know, even, you know, 1990-ish, you're getting me there. You know, 1980, that's a red flag for me. That's kind of my barometer on, you know, where I'm going to go with these things. And, you know, we had to convince him, you know, after doing market value. I mean, this is a specialized equipment built in a warehouse just for this group, just for this unit. And, you know, it's hard having those conversations, and we do it all the time. But in that instance, you know, if we would even try to sell it, you know, dismantling it, you know, and having it shipped out would have been just, the numbers were just ridiculous. It was best value was to have it recycled. And I've kind of stopped getting away from scrap. I'm kind of, you know, in our side, they'll see me say recycle more. I try to say recycle more than scrap, but it needed to be recycled. So I tried to change the narrative because scrap, for some reason, seems a little negative. I think, mm-hmm. you know, when I say I'm going to scrap it, you know, everybody's ears perks up. So I've tried to say recycle. So my vocabulary is kind of growing there from scrap to recycle. But that's just an example of a client expectation and how that how using our valuation at MMR, you know, to determine the actual value for an equipment can help best save the client.
Right.
That's true.
I'm worried about saying the word scrap now. I need therapy. Say why. Somebody help me with my why, please.
Yeah, every time you say scrap, we'll go recycle.
We should have rehearsed that in the...
We need a cuss jar right now.
Yeah,
we do.
Quarter in the cuss jar.
Yeah, it's really hard for me, too, because I am definitely refinery talking. I'm like,
That's scrap, good, though.
Scrap.
Mm-hmm. I gas off scrap, and that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I used to get rebuffed by it so much. Like, oh, I don't want to go to scrap. You know, I don't want to go to scrap.
But yeah, then they'll write scrap on the side, right?
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
That feels better. I'm happier now.
Let's recycle that.
So in what kind of a situation would it be advisable to put something in a recycle bin?
Thank you.
To save on time or money?
I think this is a good opportunity to bring up the environmental side. We talked about CPM and preparing and being familiar with our clients. Environmentally, a lot in the oil and gas industry, there are a lot of restrictions and restraints on what can leave and what cannot go. A lot of times, it could be a gray area. And, you know, if you don't know what you have, you know, there could be issues transporting that pipe. Mm-hmm. There could be issues transforming that vessel. So I think sometimes, you know, surplus versus scrap sometimes gives an opportunity to be on the safe side, mm-hmm. and follow those regulations. And potentially like lead, some recycling companies can take lead. Lead is a big issue, but most recycling companies take, as long as you are upfront with it, inform them that they're going to be receiving it. Mm-hmm. And you can avoid, trying to sell lead, mm-hmm. to a potential client or something like that. That's something down the road that could become an issue. So we can save our clients that hassle or even liability, mm-hmm. but just recycling it. Let's just recycle it. Let's follow the rules, and we'll try to add value to the next one.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it also occurs to me that it's a bin, or it's a container.
Yep.
And if they're not careful about what they put where, it could be that different materials get improperly sorted sometimes, and that could cause a problem.
Yeah, that could be a big problem. The bins, they contain, they're a good source of containment when they're on the road, when the product's on the road. I think, and in some refineries, it could be a confined space. Mm-hmm. It could be a confined space. So, working within recycling bins does have an advantage and a disadvantages.
Can you tell me a time when you saved a client from themselves? They might have put something in a scrap bin when really it was better off being surplus. Do you guys help with that part of it?
Yeah, absolutely. So in these instances, we as MMR, we check the boxes on a daily routine. Okay. So any boxes that are leaving, we actually physically look in it. And sometimes you do find those what we call diamonds in the rough. You look in there like, oh, hey, you're not supposed to be throwing that away. So what you do is you call the client or where the area it comes from, mm-hmm. or the business unit, as we call it. And we'll say, hey, I know you want the stuff out and scrap it, but in there you have potential surplus that would make you double the money if we can get it out. Now, that doesn't mean that MMR ourselves runs in there, just grabs and starts throwing stuff out and like, hey, we got it. So what it means is we have to take that box, particular box, back to the client, and they'll offload it out of the box and set it down, and then we can actually surplus it. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, that could get you in trouble, too. If you can't offset what it takes a guy to pull that out of the box and set it on the ground, then you kind of lose it. Mm-hmm. So in that case, you really got to make sure that what you have in there is a diamond and that it'll pay for and offset the cost of whoever's got to go in there and pull it back out.
A lot of the diamonds I come across are new. Someone threw something new in the box, mm-hmm. and we'll get the call, like say you may review it or you see it, you get the call and hey, this isn't just an old piece of pipe. This is the pipe.
this is what they're installing.
Right.
Just, yeah. Right
is,
over
this
there.
This is B2BB. And this is the pipe that we're supposed to be installing. So we get that calls a lot. And luckily, our relationship, and we set up, we bid out that process to different vendors, and we have agreement with vendors, and we're able to not only locate it, but our recycling vendor takes pictures of each bin that leaves, mm-hmm. the facility. So that's a really big way to add value to the client when you're looking for pipe B2B. Mm-hmm. And so we have an opportunity, and I pitched this when I talked to my guys. Okay, hey, if you threw somewhere you think you lost it, you've got, maybe like a 24-hour window of getting it back. or if you're just, for a refinery's sake or for our client's sake, for an auditing purposes, if B2B still needs to be accounted for,
right?
You have that review access for the pictures of each load to go back and look. So
right.
Documentation is really, really key for MMR. Those bins are, could carry, like say, a new pipe or an old pipe or a diamond in a rough, like Stephen mentioned.
The more I hear you guys talk about it, the more apparent it is that you are in this part of it all the time and you see things that somebody who doesn't do it all the time, like anything else, mm-hmm. wouldn't necessarily notice or even know to troubleshoot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Trial by fire.
Yeah. Yeah. Revolving door constantly.
We did, bumped heads along the way, right?
I didn't catch every pipe. I didn't, yeah. We caught a lot of pipes.
Yeah. 90%, I would say.
Right, yeah, 90, more like 90%.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotcha. So let's say that you guys get a phone call from somebody that just landed on the job site. Mm-hmm. Hi, I replace such and so. What do you guys do? Yeah. Fill me in. Does that sound familiar to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. That's exactly how the phone call goes a lot of times.
Word for word.
Yeah, word for word. They'll say, hey, you know, I just took over for Jim. Jim's no longer with us. Like, oh, man, where did he go? Because that's potential, too. A lot of with our clients, they roll around a lot, right? So you definitely know where Jim, where he wants to go. Oh, he's over at that project now. And you're like, yes, yeah. Good. Jim knows our process and we can help it. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, also having fresh people come in too is a lot of times a positive, mm-hmm. because they come in with more energy. They want to get things done. And then it's me and Carlton's job to talk to them, make them feel comfortable with us. So they're not worried about what's leaving, what's not leaving. And mm-hmm. once we basically tell them, so Kansas, you're calling in, you want to start our process. And I would tell you, like, this is the way it goes. What I first start off with, I always tell them, I make it super easy on you. He's like, the worst part is trying to get the people that are in play that can do your approvals. Once we get the approvals, I'll take 90% of the, mm-hmm. you know, the blunt of everything else that's coming out. And as far as the process goes, I'll let him know how it works. Once we get the approvals, you actually give us access to getting that stuff out or whatever he has at the time. If mm-hmm. it's a long existing project, not to worry, we can handle those too. You know, mm-hmm. and a lot of common questions they'll ask is, well, do I have to keep reapproving for each one? No. So that's part of our process of making you feel comfortable is once you approve, you give me and Carlton access to help you. Okay. Now, they're like, well, how do you regulate it? Mm-hmm. That's a big question everybody asks. How do you regulate what comes and goes? I'm not physically looking at it. I'm in an office. Okay, so what? Going back to what me and Carlton said before, is the scrap vendors, they take pictures. Every box is inspected before it leaves. And say something does come up missing, you have about a 24-hour window before it's completely gone and it's a Toyota somewhere. Okay, that's what I usually tell them. They call me in 48 hours. Yeah, I'm like, that's probably a bumper, I'm thinking. But we'll call and find out for you, you know. And you're like, oh, man, there it is on the picture. But, you know, that stuff happens all the time because, you know, you have 800 workers out there and not all of them got the memo. Maybe he had a bad day. He just skipped the safety meeting that minute and he threw it in there. But that's the kind of stuff that we have to tell them and try to get them to trust us enough to mm-hmm. – hey, if you have any questions, we take pictures of everything. We'll send it to you. Nothing leaves the thing without you saying, okay, that can go. If something does accidentally leave, which happens, we'll try our best to say, look, okay, it did leave. Here's the pictures of it. It got through in a scrap bin, and we'll move on from right there. Another question we get asked a lot is, well, once I approve, do we just let y'all have it, or can I get a daily schedule of what's going on? And yeah, you can do that. Whatever your needs are, if you want a every day of, hey, you had three boxes leave, they had this much weight, we can do that. Whatever fits your needs. If you feel more comfortable and because you get running the paperwork guys, is what I call them, and they want the heavy duty paperwork, that's fine. We can do that. That's not a big deal. Or if you want it monthly, we can do it monthly. It just depends.
This is a good opportunity to talk about MMR on the educational side, and systems. Mm-hmm. I'm big on systems. And Steve, you know, Steve follows these same rules. He kind of walked us through everything. But you know, there is a process mm-hmm. To this, and you know, for the new guys, is an additional opportunity to talk about buy-in from the upper management. Mm-hmm. That'd be key too. So systems and buy-in from upper management. Upper management is key because, you know, when he comes to Steven, you know, he's going to call his boss and say, is Steven the right guy? Or he's going to call his boss and see who is the right guy. Mm-hmm. And if we got the buy-in, they're going to direct them us. They're going to say, hey, no, you need to call Steven to find out what to do about the recycle bin. So that's the key to the buy-in. And then the systems is another issue, another thing. You know, we document, we're a point of audit, so we have everything documented. And we have a website that we, you know, that everyone can go to. Okay, here's surplus. Here's, you know, here's recycle versus surplus. You know, we have, you know, here's the avenue. Here I walk you through it. And then also for your particular facility, here's how you walk through it. Okay, this, you know, this is what you need to do. You need to start here, inventory. You need to sign this. I can help you with that, or Steven, you know, you call Steven, he can walk you through that. You know, and so that's how, you know, it helps keep you sane, because, you know, there is a lot of revolving doors within the different clients. So you've got, if you know, if you're starting over, you know, it's our job. But, you know, if you're okay with, you know, Steven, being education, like Steven mentioned, I'm okay with assisting you and filling out the form. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not a problem. But, you know, the educational side is important. Instructing your team, giving you assistance and helping your team do their jobs.
Right. So, and understand what's needed to keep the company, you know, in compliance and within their own controls.
Yep.
Nice. So let me try and sum up what we've talked about and what I've heard you guys say today. Clients really can trust MMR as experts in the disposal or reuse of surplus materials. And one thing I heard over and over today is that your clients can trust material management resources to handle their business as though it was your own.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Whether you outsource to MMR or not, when it comes to making smart decisions about investment recovery, you guys made some really good points, and I'm going to suggest that people keep these things in mind. Number one, get us involved as early as possible so we can assess what's going on with the project that you have at hand. Consider using an outside source to save time. Take advantage of the expertise of people who handle scrap versus surplus all the time, and that there's value in what some might call scrap, others might call recycling. Don't just throw or give it away. Let MMR try to help you. We want to thank our guests, Carlton Jones and Stephen Williford, for sharing their time and expertise today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Candace.
To learn more about material management resources and how we can help you responsibly handle surplus materials, visit us online at materialmg.com.